read it, you're going to find something new. No matter how long you meditate on it, there's more there. And I've been so encouraged over the years. My father-in-law, he did 7 years of seminary. That's how much he wanted to study God's word. And he passed away just a couple years ago, but he was, I tried turning it on. It's not, I don't know. I would go to his house and walk in and, hi, how are you? Want some coffee, blah, blah, blah. And as soon as, you know, tea and cookies chatter was done, he's like, okay, I just learned something new in God's word. He's like 80 years old. He's like jumping up. He's like, let me get my Jewish Bible. He pulls it out and he's like, okay, this word in Jewish and this word. And he'd be showing me stuff that he found after 80 years of studying God's word. He's still finding stuff that's new. And I'm just amazed at the richness of God's word and the beauty of God's word. I've been on a few different mission trips to different parts of the world. And I don't know if how many of you have had a cross-cultural experience, but when you go to another culture where things are completely different, the relationship between parents and children is very different. Parent relationship between spouses is different. The relationship between the pastors and the congregation is very different. And yet they read God's word and it cuts right through and it reaches their soul and it reaches their heart. And no matter how different people are in their lives and how different the worlds they live in, when you read God's word, it can cut right through to your heart. And you can have somebody in high school who's completely awash in the world's culture, and when they read God's word, it cuts right through. You can have a grandma or a grandpa who's in their 80s. They read God's word and they've grown up in a completely different culture. God's word cuts right through. And so I just want to encourage you today, when you read God's word, expect to find something. When you read a scripture, expect that God's going to speak to you. Because if you come to God's word with that point of view, God will speak. God will cut through. You know, sometimes when you hear a scripture, even like the verses we read today, you know, you read that and you think, okay, I'm not sure what that was all about, the Araba and all of this stuff. I'm not sure what that was, you know, and priests and dry ground and flood stage and what was all that, right? But when you start to read and start to study and start to reflect, there's so much beauty in there and so much depth in there. And over the years, I mean, I've always tried to follow God with a whole heart, but you know how we are. We wander. We waver. Sometimes we're over here. Sometimes we're closer to God. Sometimes we're farther. And I've always noticed when my heart isn't tuned into God's, I'll read his word and I'll be like, okay, what was that? And it'll seem strange or quaint. It won't really hit me. And I'll be like, was that just a bad scripture? And I'm like, well, there's no such thing. All scripture is God breathed, right? All scripture is profitable for teaching and correction. And so God's word is still there. It's still right. It's still true. So what changed? I did. I wasn't ready to receive. I wasn't ready to hear. I wasn't ready to learn. So it didn't hit me like it needed to. And so that's always a sign to me. If I open up the Bible and I read 2, 3, 4, 5 chapters and it hasn't hit me yet, it's because maybe there's something wrong with me. God's word never changes. Amen? God never changes, amen? His truth never changes, amen? His spirit is always there to bear witness, but we need to be tuned in. We need to be ready to listen. And so I just want to encourage you before we dive into these thoughts. If you hear God's word and it doesn't hit you, maybe just take a few moments to pray and to just ask God to forgive you. Ask God to help you with, you know, any greed or bitterness or lust or unforgiveness or whatever might be in your heart and in the forefront of your mind, so that you can put that aside and just listen and just listen. All right, so let's pray and then we're going to dive in. Lord God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your truth. God, we thank you for the beauty of all there is in your word that can teach us and show us more about you and more about ourselves and more about our mission in this world. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll take these ideas and thoughts that I've been ruminating on and preparing. And Holy Spirit, just breathe life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in the Bible, there's just so many layers and there's so much going on. So I just want to talk about water for a few minutes here. In the Bible, when it talks about water, water is kind of this, it's kind of like, you know, some vitamins you can take and it helps you, but if you have too much, it can poison you. You know, some medicine you can have, the proper dose can help you. Too much of you can put you in a shock, right? Well, there's kind of this like balance of like benefit and danger, right? And water is like that. A cup of water, it can be a blessing. Being hit on the head with a wave of freezing water is maybe not such a blessing, right? When you hear about water in the Bible, whenever it talks about water or waters, that's like a code for danger. When you hear about waters in the Bible, that usually means turmoil or unpredictability, danger. So whenever you're reading in the Psalms and it says the waters have gone over me, your waves and your breakers have crashed over me, water is a code word, right? When Jesus walked on the water, that was a code word. There was a lot of chaos and danger and turmoil all around the disciples, but Jesus walked on the water, right? So whenever you come across water in the Bible, your antenna should go up and say, okay, there's some chaos, there's some turmoil, there's some danger, right? So this is just a little clue to help you when you're reading. Water is a short form or a code word. It means trouble, right? And so when you look at the waters in the Old Testament, the flood, right? All of a sudden the heavens opened and the waters fell on the earth and the flood waters rose and millions of people drowned and Noah and his family were saved through the waters, right? Moses, the Jewish people were threatened with genocide and all the Jewish sons were to be killed and they put Moses into the water and he drifted away and turmoil, danger, uncertainty. And then he was drawn up out of the water and rescued and saved, right? Think about the children of Israel when they were leaving Egypt and Moses was in front of them. And all of a sudden, they came to a hard spot, didn't they? There was a cliff on one side. There was a mountain on the other side. Pharaoh's army was behind them. So they were literally between a rock and a hard place. Pharaoh's army behind them. And what was in front of them? Water, the Red Sea. Danger, turmoil, right? So what happened with that water? You guys went to Bible school. You guys went to Bible study, the water, God blew on the waters and the waters receded and they walked across as a dry land, right? Anytime you see water in the Bible, it's usually followed by some sort of miracle. So you see water, it talks about danger, turmoil, something about bad is happening. The waters have risen up to my neck, it says in the Psalms, right? Whenever there's water and there's peril, usually that means God is going to intervene somehow, right? So the Israelites were stuck on the edge of the Red Sea and God said, I will deliver you. I will deliver you. And suddenly that deliverance came and they walked through the Red Sea as if they're on dry land. So in this scripture here in the book of Joshua, the children of Israel had been wandering in the desert and wandering in circles and wandering and wandering. For 40 years, they had been wandering in the desert. Everybody that had come through the Red Sea had died by this point. The only two that were left were Joshua and Caleb. They were the only two people left. Only two people that passed through the waters of the Red Sea. Everyone else, even Moses, had passed away. And it was all of their kids and their grandkids that were coming into the promised land. And they were about to come into the promised land and God had struck fear in the people in front of them. And God was preparing the way. when they left Egypt, they were a bunch of slaves that had just been freed. There were a bunch of slaves that had just been freed, and all the Egyptians, do you remember in the story? All the wealth of the Egyptians was given to them. God made the Egyptians really favor them, and they gave their gold and their silver and all their treasures to the Israelites. So the Israelites, 2 weeks ago, were slaves. Now they're walking out of Egypt with all this gold and jewels and all of this wealth, and they're like, okay, what do we do with this? And then they wandered in the desert for 40 years, and now their children were coming into the promised land. They still had all of that wealth. All the wealth of Egypt was theirs, and they had it. And what had been a band of slaves was now walking into the promised land. They had 40,000 soldiers, it says in that passage. 40,000 soldiers. So they went from a society that was just a bunch of slaves to now they had the covenant. They had God's law. They had the law of Moses. They had the priesthood. They had the tabernacle. They had a standing army. They became a literal nation in those 40 years. And now they were going into the promised land. And God was creating the way before them. He had constituted this nation out of almost nothing. They had all the wealth and power they needed. But then they had to go through the waters of the Jordan River. And these are desert people. And they're afraid of water. Waters are turmoil. Waters are danger. Now, the Jordan River they had to walk through was kind of like the Grand River up in Ashwiken. Just not that wide. But when you live in the desert, that's enough water to scare you. Right? And when they stepped in the water, they didn't know what was in there. It could be eels. It could be sharks. It could be snapping turtles. They didn't know what was in there. They didn't know if their foot would sink and out of sight. As long as they were in the desert on dry land, they had certainty because the ground was hard. They could see it. If there was a rock they could slip on, they could see it. And then for them to step into the water was terrifying. It was scary. They were literally terrified of the water. But God told them, you need to go across the Jordan to possess the land. And so it was a step of faith for them to cross the Jordan, to walk through the water. And they were terrified. And at our scripture verse there, it talked about this miracle that God did for them. Remember, every time there's miracle, it's turmoil and danger. And when you see water, there's often God's deliverance. So as they lifted up the Ark of the Covenant, God said, send the priests first. And the priests started walking. And God said, the moment their feet touch the Jordan River, it's going to dry up. Even though it's flood stage, we know what the Grand River looks like at flood stage. It's everywhere. It's in the fields. It's around houses. There's cows and stuff standing in the water because they don't know where to go. The Jordan was at flood stage. And God said, the water is going to dry up. And so they had to step out in faith. The water was at its most chaotic, its most dangerous, its most fearful. And God said, the priests, as soon as they step in the water, it's going to dry up. And the people of Israel will cross the Jordan on dry land. Just like they crossed the Red Sea on dry land, they're going to cross the Jordan on dry land. Just as Moses led them through the Red Sea on dry land, they're going to cross the Jordan. And Joshua is going to take them across. And so often when you read God's word, there's echoes, right? It's not an exact match, but there's often echoes. You see where so many things that happened to Joshua were very similar as what happened to Moses. So the priests picked up the ark and they started walking into this flowing river at flood stage, terrified. And then they stepped in the river and the river started to dry up. And as they got to the middle, the river dried up. And it says in here, in the verses we read, that the waters were stopped. And it names a town that was 20 miles upstream from them. So oftentimes the deliverance that God is bringing you, he's already taken action. You feel like you're still in trouble. You're still in a bad spot. God has already taken action. God had already blocked up the river 20 miles away. the archaeologists are still trying to figure out, was it a landslide? Was it a mudslide? What was it that stopped the river? But it's been documented that the river stopped. So 20 miles upstream, there was a blockage that stopped the river. And God timed it just perfectly that the water petered out just as they were stepping into the water. Maybe there's a deliverance. Maybe there's a miracle you need in your life. And you're trusting in God to deliver you. You're trusting in God to help you. You're trusting in God to do something for you. And you believe he's answered you and he said, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this. And maybe he's already acted 20 miles upstream and he needs you to take a step of faith anyways. You don't have the evidence in front of you, but God's already acted, right? Sometimes we need to take a step of faith because God has already acted and we just need to move at the right time. What if the priests were not listening and they're like, no, we need to get underway. And they started walking and it was before the river started to slow down. They might have drowned. They would have been leading the people into a real problem. What if they waited till after it dried up? Then it would have been like, oh yeah, you didn't prove nothing. They walked out at the time God told Joshua, get the priests to start walking. That's the time when the river started to dry up. God's timing is perfect. God's timing in your life is perfect. We just need to tune in. All too often we miss what God's doing because we're just distracted. We're scrolling on our phones or we're angry about something or we're bitter because I can't believe she said that to me. Tune into what God is telling you. Tune into what God is doing, how God is directing you. He's got everything worked out. He says we are his workmanship created for good works in Christ. Amen? What's the rest of that verse? We are his workmanship created for good works in Christ, which he has prepared ahead of time for you to do. He's already planned those good works for you to do, but you got to be tuned in so you know when to do them. He already had this plan for them to walk across the Jordan River. He already had the Jordan River blocked up 20 miles upstream, but they had to go at the right time. It had to be in God's time. It was perfect when it was in God's time. And what does it say in that verse? It said the priests stepped into the middle of the Jordan and they stood on dry ground, right? These are desert people. They want to stand on dry ground. They don't want to slip and trip, right? They want to stand on dry ground. And the priests stood on dry ground in the middle of the river, holding the Ark of the Covenant over their shoulders. And then all the people of Israel walked through. And they all walked through. And they all made it to the other side. It said there was an army of 40,000 men, plus all their families and all the other people. Like, there was estimates are over 1 million people walked through the Jordan River while it was dry. And then Joshua said, we need to mark this occasion. So they took 12 stones from where the priests were standing and they moved them to the camp where they were camping in the promised land. This is when they finally made it into the promised land. They took 12 stones to mark this occasion because they said, this is such a miracle of God. We'd never want to forget this. So they made a pile of stones in the camp and they could go to those stones and see and say, these were in the middle of the Jordan River. God dried it out and we all walked through. There's the hard evidence, right? Sometimes we need hard evidence. You know, we hear what God did in the past. Sometimes we need evidence to tell us, right? And so they made a monument that said, these stones were in the middle of the river and these are the stones the priest stood on. And then they could bring their children and their grandchildren to see that pile of stones and say, you don't believe it? Check them out. These stones are smooth. They're rounded. They were in the water. Do you see any other stones like that around? No. These stones were in the river. You want your hard evidence? There it is. And then interesting, and these are one of the things that I'm learning in God's word. They took 12 stones from the camp and put them in the river. I'm still trying to figure that one out. So if anybody figures that out, let me know because I'm still puzzled by that. But they took 12 stones from the camp and put them in the river. And then when they did that, the flood water started to rise again. And the river continued on its course. So whatever blocked that flood was just long enough. It lasted from the time the priests put their feet in the water till the time they put the last stone down. And God had it timed perfectly. Whatever dammed up the river had broken, what is it, half an hour and a half before, but it was timed to the second for when they put that last stone in. God is in control. Amen? God is in control. A lot of times we get so wrapped up in our little problems and our little things we think are important and our little circle that we run in, and we don't always recognize that sometimes God is doing something miraculous and we don't even see it. God is doing something beautiful and we don't even hear it. We don't even recognize it. Sometimes we say, oh, I don't feel like God's working in my life. Well, guess what? He is. Maybe you just need to tune in. God is working in our lives. We just need to open our eyes to see the beauty of what he's doing. And when you think about water in the Bible, I'm just putting seeds in your mind. So when you study God's word, you'll hear it. You'll see it. Every time there's water mentioned, a body of water, there's a miracle, right? Jesus walked on the water. He told his disciples, set out across the sea and I'll meet you over there. What sense did that make? They're going to row across the water and he's going to walk around? It didn't make sense. They just did it. They didn't have to have an explanation. It didn't make sense to them. Right? So they set off across the sea, and then all of a sudden the storm whipped up, and then Jesus walked across the water. And when they're in the middle of their biggest panic, Jesus said, peace be still. And it was quiet. Right? Oftentimes we get stuck in the middle of our turmoil and we wonder, you know, we think we have to solve it. We think we have to fix it. When all we need to do is look to Jesus and have him smirk and say, peace be still. Right? We create so much stress for ourselves. God has said, why do you worry? Who of you by worrying can add an inch to his height or add a hair to his head? We all know worrying can probably take the hair off your head. Who of you by worrying can add a hair to your head? You can't, right? He says, trust the Lord that feeds the sparrow. The sparrow doesn't worry about what it's going to eat, right? If his eye's on the sparrow, how much more is he watching you? He says, how many times in the New Testament, why do you worry? Why do you worry? Why do you worry? Don't worry. He's trying to reorient our focus. Other times when there was water in the New Testament, you look at Paul when he was being sent to Rome. There was a huge shipwreck and there was all of this these terrible things that happened. Yet God delivered him. God performed a miracle. Somebody got bit with a snake and they were healed, right? God delivered through the waters. You even look, Jesus went through the waters. He went down to the Jordan and was baptized, right? He went in and stepped into the Jordan. That's an act of faith. When you're a desert person, walking into the water is an act of faith because you can't see what's down there. It's scary, right? Jesus stepped into the Jordan River. He was baptized. And then there was a miracle, right? The heavens opened and God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. They could see him, right? There was water and then the miracle happened, right? There was water. And the waters represent turmoil, represent danger, represent unpredictability. And if you see that in your life, if you're going through the waters, realize that a miracle is on the way. A miracle's happening. A miracle might have already happened upstream and it's just taken time to get to you, right? In the book of Daniel, it says that Daniel was praying to God for deliverance. Daniel was praying to God for deliverance. And the archangel was sent to deliver him, but it took him 2 weeks to get there because he had to fight his way through to get there. God answered his prayer 2 weeks before. Daniel was still praying. And what if he started worrying? God had already answered the prayer. It took 2 weeks for that answer to get there. Maybe God has already answered the prayers you're praying. Maybe the answer is already on its way. So why do we fear? Why are we anxious? Right? Be still, my soul. Put your hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Amen? Right now, you look at you watch the news, you listen to politics, and it's always up in the air and it's always an uproar, but it seems like things are a little extra out of control right now. God is still in control. Amen. It's like the waters that were ripply are now stormy. God is still in control, right? When communism was sweeping across Russia, and churches were burning and all kinds of things were going on, God was still in control even at that time. His people were still under his care, right? And doesn't matter what happens in our own society, what happens in our own world, God is still in control. Amen? To live is Christ, to die is gain. So why do we worry? Right? We just need to be faithful. God has prepared good works for us to do in advance. We just need to be tuned in and ready to do those good works when he speaks. Amen? I hope that was encouraging for you. When you read God's word, look for the water and look for the miracle. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your holy word. Dear God, we thank you for the truth that's in there. Dear God, we thank you that you reach down to us and you grab us by the hand and you pull us up. You look us in the eye when we're looking around scared. And God, you're always there. Your eye is on the sparrow, and I know you're watching us. So Lord, we just pray for your comfort, for these words of truth to sink into our hearts and our spirits. And as we meditate on your word this week, I pray that you will shine through like the sun, that you'll hit us like a lightning bolt, just giving us your truth and confirmation of your word and your love. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.